in a morgue and you think you hear someone saying, let me out, you gotta take the risk.
Halfway down the hall, she asked if I really heard what she did. Yeah, I did, I told her. I was telling one of my friends who was a nurse on our floor also the story. She tells me she had similar things happen to her in the morgue
killing
also.
Killing people down there. Taking people who were just sleeping soundly.
I nodded off.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I have found some weird robot news. We like to talk about the coming robo-apocalypse. I think this is kicking it off.
Oh, yes.
What I'm about to say right here. Robot priest unveiled in Germany to mark 500 years since the Reformation. So
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Whoa.
So this is the 500 year anniversary of the Reformation. That's when Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the doors of the church, mm-hmm. and basically told the Catholic Church, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Basically is what he said.
I'm putting you on notice.
Yeah, you've sold your last indulgence.
Yeah.
This is about to be on. So, to celebrate this, which I think is weird, some church has created this robot priest.
A robot priest.
It is a robot priest, and it's in the town of Wittenberg, where Martin Luther started up his beef.
Mm-hmm.
It delivers blessings in 5 languages, beams a light from its hands.
What priest does that, though? Why are you already a robot priest?
What a priest can do in real like if a priest could shoot light out of his hands, I might be Catholic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That might seal the deal for me.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. So you they know? Had to say, well, it's basically just,
let there be light. You know, and everyone's like, yeah. You know. So it beams lights from its hands and has been unveiled as a part of an exhibit to mark the anniversary of the kickoff. A Reformation.
All right. We're kicking off a Reformation.
We can't get this Reformation going. Wow. I present to you. And then the beams of light, right?
Yeah.
It's put Stephen Krebs of the Protestant Church. Wait a minute. Yeah, Stephen Krebs of the Protestant Church in Hesse and Nassau, which I guess is near Wittenberg, is behind the initiative. And he says, we wanted people to consider if it's possible to be blessed by a machine or if a human being is needed. To which I say, brother, do you want to keep your job or not?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
see anything shooting out of your hands. That looks like a beam of light.
Yeah. Why would you think that a blessing is real from a machine?
Well, they're just...
Why do you think it's real from a human?
The thing is, they're entertaining the idea, and they're hoping that people will come to the conclusion that you need a human priest.
Mm.
But people are... The conclusion that people came to that I got from this article is that people were like, you know, there's not enough priests around when you need one. These robot priests are cheap
trip.
And available.
How about women? Why don't we have women as priests? No, we're going to have robots.
No, these
God
are Protestants.
Forbid.
They have female priests. They don't have enough priests of anything.
All right.
They have the same problem. Well, the Catholic Church has a lack of priests, but Protestant Church apparently too.
Even though they can have female priests.
They let women in. It didn't help.
Yeah.
They still need these robots.
It sucks being a priest.
Uh-huh, it's not very much fun. The robot raises its arms, flashes lights, and recites a biblical verse and says, God bless and protect you. If requested, it will print it out. Why would you need a printout? You gonna show it to somebody? No, I was blessed. Look at this.
How can a robot give a blessing and like I can?
I don't know. Well, you're Catholic and you're a woman, so you don't be blessing anything.
Well, I'm not really Catholic. I was raised Catholic, but I don't practice.
You don't practice?
I don't practice.
I practice hard. there's a backup robot available in case the robot breaks down. The idea is to provoke debate, says Krebs. People from the street. I don't know what that means.
People from the
street? I think maybe this is a translation.
Yeah.
People from the street are curious, amused, and interested. They are taken with it and are very positive. But inside the church, some people think we want to replace human pastors with machines. Those that are church-oriented are more critical. So the people in the church are not getting the joke,
mm-hmm.
basically, or the idea of it. He's trying to provoke thought. And they're like, are you serious with this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this thing going to be in here?
Yeah.
Sprinkling water on people? So Krebs and his colleagues are collecting responses for further analysis, but they don't anticipate, but he did not anticipate robots presenting a solution to the Europe-wide shortage of priests. He says a robot, quote, could never substitute for pastoral care. Just wait.
Just wait. Just wait. Happen.
I bet you some people were like, you know what? I like this better. Yeah. There was less judgment. Light came out of his hands.
Right. And it just did the job.
It just did the job. I have a printout.
Yeah.
My soul is clean.
Yeah.
It says, we don't want to robotize our church work. Or robotize. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. But see if we can bring a theological perspective to a machine. I think this guy is going to robotize himself out of a job.
Yeah. Oh,
pretty soon. So basically that's what's happening. But not to be outdone, it's called Bless You Too, is the robot.
No.
It's not the first robot to penetrate the world of faith. Last year, a Buddhist temple on the edge of Beijing developed a robot monk that could chant mantras and explain basic tenets of the religion. So I bring you the future of funerals. This is a robot priest launched to undercut human-led rites. So I don't know much about Buddhism, but apparently the way that it's being practiced, the funeral can cost you like $30,000.
How can you? That's a pricey.
I have no idea. It says, this was an...
if you can't afford it, you can't die.
I don't know. In Japan, robots serve as companions, helpers for the elderly, entertainment, and sexual partners. But now... there's a company called SoftBank. Really, guys?
SoftBank.
SoftBank's humanoid robot, Pepper, has put itself up for hire as a robot, as a Buddhist priest for funerals. I'm not even religious, and I'm offended by this. I feel like this is sacrilegious and wrong.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to believe in this stuff, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, go with it. In any case, they're doing it because... it's a cheaper alternative to a human priest that will see your loved ones off to the eternal sleep. And
Did they write that?
Yes. They debuted this thing at a place, at a conference I want to go to, the Life-Ending Industry Expo in Tokyo. Can you imagine? Hey, you know what, field trip?
We need to go to that.
Life-Ending Industry Expo.
The life-ending
industry. Maybe the word industry doesn't come across as cold in Japanese as it does here. But yeah, the average cost of a funeral in Japan, excess of $30,000. And the priest, a human priest, see, they're already putting the word human on things. We've talked about this. A human priest costs around $3,000. But this company is going to undercut the market by giving you a robot priest for about $600. So, you save $2,400.
Woman priest for
$300. Yeah, for $300. Free. Free female priest. With Japan's population aging and shrinking, many Buddhist priests receive less financial support for their communities. And I guess that's why they're charging more for the funerals. So, if they got to come out and do a funeral, they're going to charge more because they're not getting the donations
that they need. Used to. Okay.
Not because people aren't Buddhist, because there's shrinking populations.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how it goes. So it says that would-be funeral arrangers, I don't know what that means, would-be funeral arrangers.
Would-be.
Yeah.
If they didn't.
Have the option to.
What are they doing that they can't?
I don't know. Would-be funeral arrangers have the option to deck Pepper the robot out in a robe of a Buddhist monk and can even live stream the ceremony to those who can't attend the funeral in person. Don't ever invite me to a funeral that's being conducted by a robot with gigantic eyes.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's wearing clothing. That's worse.
Right. Because if a human being can't show up at the funeral
for
you, why should I?
Buddhist priest.
Why should I go?
Why should I go?
Yeah.
You know what? Send the image to me. I'll have my robot look at it.
Yeah.
How about that? Buddhist priest Tetsugo Matsuo said he came to the expo. He should have come there to smash it because it's coming after church. But he came to the expo to see if Pepper could impart the heart aspect to a machine because he believes that the heart is the foundation of religion. I would hope so.
Or the microchip.
The microchip.
Is the foundation of priesthood or something.
Then no one's hired it yet, but it seems like it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple different things going on here. One, what? This is like the story that we read about the Chinese guy who his family really wanted him to get married, so he married a robot, and they were like, "Fine."
Yeah, they're like, "You can just Yes, let's just go on.
We were upset because we're like, they're just replacing a woman. But now I see it's not a sexist thing. They don't care.
They're just replacing everybody. People who are interested,
and by they, I mean humans. Like, people don't care. They're willing to replace a person with a robot in what's supposed to be one of the most sacred rites ever. A funeral. And every religion, like, whether you have a lot of sacraments or not, like, that's definitely going to be one of them. The funeral, right?
Right, right. I mean, that's inevitable. Yeah. Everybody's going to go.
Even atheists, agnostics, whatever,
everybody gets
have
a send
something
off.
That they do.
You do. There has to be at least a salute.
Yeah. Shots, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
But you need somebody to pull it all together.
Yeah. And then this robot. I have no idea where this is going. This is the robot apocalypse, people. They're coming at you through the funerary rites.
Yeah. Oh,
really? And also, boo to those priests for charging all that money.
Yeah,
see, they are quickly pricing themselves out of the market.
And yeah, exactly. And it's saying, well, we're not getting the money, so we have to charge you for this. It's not about the service.
No.
Either. It's like, oh, we just need the money.
We just need the money because, what, now it costs more to get you to come and wave something at me?
Guess what? I just need more money, so therefore that's what you're
going to pay. That's what you're going to pay. My only thing was I think I would accept a robot at my funeral if it's a Dalek and if it destroys me.
Yes.
What's left of me.
Yeah, it's
as
gotta
a
do
part
some
of the funeral.
Work. Yeah, it's got to cremate me.
Yeah. I want to see lasers.
I want fire shooting out.
Not just light shooting out.
It has to be actual fire.
Yeah, fire, lasers, something.
Cremation.
Yeah. Why not just have a transformer there? You know what I'm saying? This is where this is going. So bizarre. Anyway, you can hire the robot if you want. Pepper.
And I want to be buried in the robot.
Weddings, bat mitzvahs.
I want to be cremated. All my ash goes in the robot.
Into
and
the
then
robot.
Walks around. And then sees. And then let's see how people, treat a robot that has people ash in it.
Will it be like Sally Kellerman, though? Will it be able to do that?
Yeah.
Will it be able to do Tales from Dark Campfire?
I hope so.
So weird.
Well, I'm going to tag a little bit onto
that. Okay.
So we have a listener email from Sid.
Oh, awesome. Sid, we haven't heard from Sid in a while. And if you would like to contact us, you can send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com or you can tweet us at heyyouknowit.
Yeah.
And we will read whatever you want us to on the air within reason.
Yes. So Sid writes, hello, K and J.
Hey.
Hey. Hello. She writes, it's been an insane few months at work, so I've fallen behind on keeping tabs on the impending robot apocalypse.
What? We're counting on you.
I know. We need you, Sid.
Yeah. Did you hear this thing we just talked about?
Yeah. But I did have a minute to send you this bit of insanity, and there's a link.
Okay.
And I looked at it, and she says, I wasn't able to find manufacturing or design info, which hopefully means we are in the clear.
Oh, no.
So even more research done to make sure this thing.
Or it's just not. It's in the dark web.
It is a RoboFrog.
No, it's not.
And there's a video where it jumps on this revolving chair.
Okay. Listeners, you cannot see. When she said RoboFrog and I looked at the picture, I thought it was going to be small. But now I see that it is something that looks about maybe 2 feet by a foot.
Yeah, it can fit comfortably on an office chair.
Why'd you say comfortably? That makes it creepy. So it's like an 18-pound dog, basically.
And so, there's a video where this thing jumps up onto the chair.
Are you kidding
me? I'm not kidding. It's the creepiest thing. And the comments under it were, we need to stop making robots. Nothing good can come of it. Someone says,
end scene.
Someone says, bullshit, only good can come out of this RoboFrog. RoboFrog is the hero we deserve. And it's like, no.
No.
No, no, don't start telling this frog it's a hero.
No.
Nobody's hero when it jumps up that high.
That's terrifying. What could possibly be that was search and rescue?
Jumping?
Yeah.
Anything that jumps up unexpectedly, I can't.
Yeah.
Can't
no thanks.
Handle that. Because we have the robots that climb up walls.
Yeah.
They go, the ones that look like snakes that swim underwater.
The robots that flatten themselves out origami style and slip underneath the door and then reassemble themselves.
Some walk and run.
Yeah.
Some walk with a swing
in
their
swish.
Steps.
Yeah.
But this, we haven't seen the jumping one.
No,
that looks
I'm
like
not
a giant
sure.
And I don't want to see this.
I'm not sure what we would use that for. I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with that. But thank you, Sid.
Thanks. Now
that was frightening.
Nightmares. I said, this is the stuff of nightmares. I gasped out loud when I saw it.
It's horrifying. Why would anyone make that?
And I hope the info design was burned.
Yes.
It's the only thing we can hope for that's going to keep us.
I hope they lost everything in the fire.
They got the four R's.
Katie and I are still waiting for the flying car. Mm-hmm. Still waiting. And I keep researching and we're getting a little bit closer to it. So I found this. Apparently, the people behind the DeLorean, remember the DeLorean from?
Yes.
From Back to the future.
Yes, the DeLorean has the doors that go up.
That go up. Yeah. Like a crane. So basically, the DeLorean that we all know and love was the 1981 DeLorean DMC, just known as a DeLorean. It was a sports car, and it was the reason why we know that as the DeLorean is because they never made any other DeLoreans. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until I read this article. That was it.
Oh, really?
That was the one kind of car that they made. The company started in 1974, and then by 1982, it was kaput.
Okay.
Nothing really happened. It was a John Zachary DeLorean, and he died in 2005. They only made about 9,000 DeLoreans. I saw one. I sat in one at a car show.
How'd you like it?
I didn't. Oh. It actually looks a lot cooler
in the movies.
Yeah. And, you know, you were a young person in the 80s. Like, on someone's wall, on a poster, is where it looks really cool. In person, it just looked kind of shabby.
Really?
And it was not that comfortable to sit in.
And it's not as streamlined as you think it should be. It's like still boxy.
Yeah, it's still very boxy and angular looking. I'm not saying it doesn't look cool, but I got the feeling, I'm like, did they finish this car? That's what I felt like when I got
it. And it was uncomfortable when you sat in it?
It was uncomfortable when I sat in it.
Was it hard? Or was it just the angles?
You know, low sports car. I think this thing, I've never been in a Lamborghini because I don't roll that way. Mm-hmm. But it was that kind of, low and leaning back, and I didn't particularly care for it. So, Paul DeLorean, nephew of John Z. DeLorean, founded DeLorean Aerospace.
JCD to you and me.
JCD. Founded DeLorean Aerospace in 2012. He is the CEO, chief designer, and his dream is to create a flying car. Mm. I think his dream should be to try to keep the company going longer than his uncle did, but whatever. So the DeLorean that he's created, or is in the process of creating, is the DeLorean DR7. It is a VTOL, V-T-O-L, which is what they're calling their vertical takeoff and landing vehicle. That's what they're calling these things. It's going to be an autonomous flight control system. It's 20 feet by 18 and a half feet, this car. Flying car.
Yeah. Say that again? It's how many feet?
20 feet by 18 and a half feet.
That's a big
machine. Yeah. So it's going to go straight up in the air.
All right.
And then it's going to fly around and it's going to be able to land again. Just two.
And there's a lot of trunk space, I guess.
I have no idea.
Flying trips to.
They're working on a prototype of a two person. They're hoping it'll be operational by next year. I have no
idea. 2018.
Yeah, by 2018. Now we've heard this before with the flying car.
They promise us next year.
Always next year. So then I found this also too. Airbus is working out in Silicon Valley. Is working on something called A-Cubed, and they're assembling a prototype of an electric self-flying shuttlecraft called Vahana.
Vahana?
So Vahana is in the Hindu mythology, or when you see ancient art depicting their mythology, the gods are usually riding on something.
All right.
Whatever it is that they're riding on, it's a Vahana. It could be, they could be being carried on a litter. They could be on a mouse. They could be on another kind of animal. Whatever, or flying something. Whatever they're on, it's called a Vahana.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It says here, allusion to Hindu mythology and flying carpets, whatever. So, this is a single-seater. So, it's just for one person. And they have two of them full to scale already that they've been working on. They'll probably start in October or November with the test flights. This is out in somewhere in Oregon.
No kidding.
Yeah.
One person, though.
One person.
You're going to be cool, but alone.
Yeah. And you're not driving it. It's being driven by someone else.
As it should be. Because I want to have a beer.
Yeah. I want to have a beer, too. At 500 feet or whatever I'm at. So they're hoping that in the future, it's going to be competitive with taxis and then Lyft and things like that.
Good. They should make... less people in charge of driving.
And they say that it's going to be as cheap as a taxi at some point as well. Yes. I have a hard time paying $5 to go on something that flies. I feel like it should cost a lot more.
Well, you know what I mean? It'll eventually... I mean...
Seems shady to me.
They're going to, you know, work on the whole technology of the thing. And then when it becomes kind of commonplace, then it's going to get cheap.
$5?
Yeah.
To fly?
Yeah.
From one place to another?
A couple
to fly to Hoboken?
Yeah.
But why would you fly a couple blocks?
One. You... Got heels on.
That's what I was thinking, too. You know. I'm on 14th Street. I want to fly to 20th.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, that's because we're New Yorkers. We're like, how far are we going to go? We wouldn't even think to fly to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We're just going to fly in the same part
of
Manhattan.
I know, because it's still hard to get to Brooklyn, but you're flying. But
yes,
we can't accept
in
that.
In my mind, I'm like, great, I can go up the West Side Highway a little bit.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You can get across town. Great.
I still...
We could fly wherever we wanted to. We could fly anywhere. We're not going to, though. We're just going to go from, you know...
Just a couple of blocks.
Yeah, I just need to go a quarter mile.
That's all I need. Yeah. It's just the basic what I need.
Yeah, is there coffee in this thing? So it's going to be one of these VTOLs again. It's going to be able to take off vertically, transition to horizontal flight, and then land vertically. And they want to land it on helipads, you know, because those are everywhere.
Yeah.
What the F? In New York, I have to go into I'd be at the top of a building.
It's going to take even more time to get to the top of a building.
Exactly. It's going to take time to
get
through.
6 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a landing pad there.
If there is a landing pad. It's going to, the estimated range of the Vahana is going to be about, I don't like the name, 40 miles on a single charge. So that's as far as you can go.
All right.
And the guy says, I can't see anything more exciting than being able to have a vehicle that gets you to your destination in 15 minutes, not an hour or an hour and a half. You can't see anything more exciting than that. I mean, you're saving me 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, my time is important, but come on.
It's not that
important.
It's not that exciting either.
And once I feel like it's going to be one of those things where you hurry up, you get somewhere quickly, and you still have to friggin' wait.
Yeah.
Because it's New York.
It's like being on a ferry.
Yes.
Like, oh
yes.
God, I can get on this boat and go right across the river. But you have to get there, wait for the thing to dock.
Get on.
Everybody's on. Everybody hold on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And then getting off is like another thing.
Yeah.
So they're for some bizarre reason, they are trying to take a bite at the taxi cab market. Because, you know, that's really something we need to work on.
Yeah. Why don't we make that even more expensive then?
Yes. Let's work on that. We already have taxis, but no, let's work on the flying car. So we might be able to have a flying car in a couple of years. Will you get in one?
I will.
You will?
I will.
I will not. I will wave at you from below.
Yeah.
I'll hold your beer.
I'm into anything that's automated that will drive me.
Okay.
I don't mind with that. I really don't mind.
You don't want to know how to drive it yourself in case of emergency? What if you have to seize the joystick or whatever's in there?
Well, I'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. Okay. I like your style.
Why not? This is the world that we live in now.
We'll just figure it out.
We figure it out. We Google everything on the
fly. I was
going
to say an app.
Every single thing that you do, you're not fully trained for.
Yeah.
You are given an assignment at work.
Figure it out.
Google it. Figure out how to do this.
So you're going to be, I'm like, why is someone hovering above 14th Street? I'm figuring it out. I'm like, you're late.
I'm figuring it out.
Yeah. I walked here. All right. What do you have?
I have their listener email.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I love getting listener emails. Okay, who is this from?
This is from Katrina G.
Nice.
Yes. It says, Dear Jaquetta and Katie, I saw this and thought of your Barnyard News segment.
Okay.
And she says, also, I liked your discussion on wonders of the ancient world.
Oh,
this
cool.
was from several episodes ago. Though I want to point out, the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio isn't very ancient at all. It was only built in the 1920s.
So I wonder why it was on that list.
Yeah.
I thought there was something weird about that.
Yeah.
I thought I was wrong. Okay.
No.
You're
thank right.
You.
This
yeah,
person
yeah.
who put it together
who,
was wrong.
Yeah,
that is not
put
an ancient
wonder.
So thank you, Katrina. As always, we welcome people
yeah.
who do tell us
people
what's up.
Who have legitimate information or
yeah.
are illegitimate information.
Okay. So this is Barnyard.
Really? Barnyard News is a segment that we do where we report on animals that are in the barnyard and some that are not in the barnyard. I don't even know why we call it barnyard news anymore. Yeah. It's just animal news.
Oh, these are barnyard animals.
Oh, these are actually, of course.
This is a great one.
You know, she's on top of it.
Yes. Firefighters eat sausages made of piglets they saved from blaze.
Oh, no. Yeah. Why?
Farmersons.
Really?
The farmer sent sausages 6 months after the fire.
Yeah. 6 months later?
Yeah, because he sent the gift of sausages to thank the Wiltshire firefighters who rescued the piglets and two sows from the fire in the barn.
I feel like the piglets were probably like, oh, we made it. It's like, yeah. Nah, just wait.
Yeah. And so the baby pigs and two sows were freed by the firefighters from Pusey in Wiltshire, where a barn went up in flames in February. The farmer, Rachel Rivers, promised she would present the firefighters with organic sausages when the animals were slaughtered for their meat.
Wow.
6 months later, she did just that, and the firefighters cooked the bangers on a barbecue. However, the farmer and the firefighters have faced criticism from some who have found the arrangement a little queasy.
Well, I was wondering, like, did the pigs get a last laugh here? Or, like, what happens? Did they get sick?
Yes. Rivers, who farms near Pusey, accepted that some vegetarians and animal rights campaigners would not be happy, but she said it was just a token of gesture to the fire service. They were over the moon with them. This is just what we do. We're not an animal sanctuary. We give the pigs the best opportunity and the best life they could have for 6 months.
The best opportunity for what? Why would you even say the word opportunity? Are you kidding me?
They won't be kept inside. They're outdoors and fed with organic food, which is grown on the farm. The piglets were just 2 weeks old when the firefighters saved their bacon. They were turned into sausage after being fattened up.
So bizarre. We give them I love this idea that I don't eat meat for my own reasons. I don't really particularly have a problem with it. But why say something like that? We give them the best opportunity.
Yeah.
You don't know that those animals don't know that they're going to be eaten.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, sure. Weren't there more pigs here yesterday?
Yeah.
Sam never came back. You know, he had so much opportunity, so much love.
So much opportunity.
He wanted to be a pediatrician. Yeah. What the hell?
You know? He was a brilliant pig.
Yeah. Did you see his work? He was also an author.
Yeah. Yeah, a trilogy.
Yeah, he had a trilogy he was working on. He'll never finish it now. The best opportunity. You gotta slaughter them and eat
House
them.
Of straw.
Yes.
House of sticks.
Yeah. And then what? Nothing.
Then yeah, we don't even know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people were saying, what a dreadful story. Lovely, they saved the pigs, but why publish their demise? Grim.
Yeah,
why could she not say thanks? What's wrong with a box of roses?
I think that it was a mistake to publicize maybe the eating of the pigs in the same story. Because I don't, like, okay, I don't really care about your barn now, I guess.
Yeah, the fire station crew says says thank you for dropping them off. And especially there was a bank holiday barbecue.
Wow.
And, you know, and they say if you're having a barbecue, check out the sausages. They're fantastic.
Bizarre.
Yeah, that's kind of like, well, to them it's just like, yeah, we wanted them alive for 6 months.
Yeah, so we could eat them later.
We eat them later, yeah. And they saved their lives. So.
Well, this is my thing, too, because I've been vegetarian for a really long time, and I have trouble understanding why people are upset about eating cats and dogs.
Because they're cute.
Is that the, or pigs are cute?
Not
sheep are
cute?
Not
to a lot of people. Not to, like, they're not pets.
I agree with you.
I'm just saying I'm trying to find the reason why.
I feel like if you're going to eat meat, you'll eat anything. What do you care? Right? Like,
yeah,
what difference does it make? If you eat meat, why should you care?
If it tastes good.
Yeah. You don't care about that. You're not concerned about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I have some, like, speaking of meat, penis news.
Okay.
This is a segment where I find news about penises on the internet, scrotum stories, dick updates, the member on
yes.
the move. So this is just a short one about we all know about flavored condoms.
Yes.
I remember when I was younger thinking, like, oh, that's so funny. What's the point? And then you get older, you're like, oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
Because I was like, why would you need a flavored condom?
Yeah.
This makes no sense. So this is a flavored condom. This is a story coming from India. And it is a spicy pickle.
Wow.
Is the flavor. Spicy pickle flavored condom is supposed to make sex tangy. Because that's exactly what that's you're looking for.
How is some sexy?
Tangy sex.
Tangy.
You want like a nice tang to it.
No.
I know, right? If you want to spice things up in the bedroom, reach for a spicy pickle-flavored condom. Apparently, some people want their penis to taste like cumin. Yeah, right? This flavor, according and others like it, jasmine, that's not bad.
Well, you don't want your penis to taste like a pickle. Someone might bite it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I or like really get a good... Like,
I just don't want... I don't know if I want a savory penis, is what I was thinking.
Well, some people don't like sweets.
That's true.
And so they want a different taste.
So, half of all condoms sold, apparently, are flavored. I did not know that. So, they said the availability of smartphones in India has increased... I don't know if I believe this. Has increased the exposure to pornography and other sexually explicit content. And the result is oral sex is becoming more condom. Common, excuse me.
Oh, what a good Freudian slip.
Oral sex is becoming more common.
Like,
I don't believe that people in India weren't having oral sex before they saw had a smartphone. Come on.
Yeah.
Like someone must have.
Like some really.
It's not that hard to figure out. Like it's not that weird. You know what I mean?
Not.
It's not like gas masks.
Are the religions going to blame a smartphone now
yes.
for the rise
Go
of
ahead.
Oral sex?
That's what they're going to blame.
Because they see it on the phone. They wouldn't have known otherwise.
Yeah. They never would have thought a mouth could go there. Ever. Had they not had that smartphone. And it says, in India, there's...
I saw it on the smartphone.
I know. And then I tried it. It tasted like cumin. It says there is still a stigma in India around the word condom. And everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. So one of the reasons, and I thought this was cool, is that the flavored condoms gives the person who's buying the condom the opportunity to just ask for the flavor and not say condom.
All right.
So they say people come in and say, give me a chocolate or a cherry. If you're at the pharmacy, they know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Because they don't have chocolate and cherries there, apparently.
Yeah, but that's even, like, why...
Why
indulge that?
I feel like
indulge that? Why can't you just... people are embarrassed to say the word condom. No. Guess what? Grow up. And say the word condom.
I would rather them figure that out later. In the meantime, just get that cherry or chocolate. Please
okay.
use a condom. They're saying here, and this is what I was shocked.
I want to force people to say.
To say condom? Just make it work. Prophylactic. If you don't, you got to say it three times, or you're just going to have to go home and make love to your hand.
Yeah.
So the article goes back to saying then, so... A recent survey said that 65% of Americans report that they've had unprotected sex. That seems like a low number. They're talking about at any time in your life.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
It's everybody has.
That's everybody.
Everybody has.
30% said they never use a condom.
Ew.
Never. I thought that was very high.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Never, ever use a condom. 30%.
Wow.
I feel like when, because we grew up in during the era of AIDS,
mm-hmm.
when sex equals death.
Right, right.
They pressed the condom into her hand. I swear I was like 12 years old. They're like, here, have this in your purse. I'm like, why? You never know.
Yeah.
Like, because AIDS. It's like, okay, I'll have this. And I remember a lot of my male friends at the time, because we were all young,
mm-hmm.
they would have a condom in their little like Velcro.
Oh, yeah, in their wallets.
In their wallet forever.
Yeah.
And you could see the imprint of it, because they were never going to use it.
Yeah.
We were kids.
Yeah.
But they had it.
They're like, all
so,
right.
So, because AIDS, you know? In any case, so what do you have?
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. Gets pretty dry in this studio, and you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
I have Tales from Dare Campfire.
Awesome. So Tales from Dare Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, ghosts, spirits, fake lore, folklore, urban legends, and we retell them right here around the digital campfire.
Yeah, so gather around, listeners.
Yes. That's not a bad opening.
Yeah.
I got everything in there.
I think you did. I was just letting it go. I was like, I'm not going to say a word.
It could have kept going.
Yeah. This one is called Haunted Morgue. We haven't really talked about morgues.
No. Oddly.
Yeah. All right.
Finally.
Okay.
The morgue gets its due.
It's from Illinois.
Does it take place in a morgue?
In a morgue. In Illinois. I got this great job working at a hospital. I really get to do something I enjoy. Taking care of others has always been a passion. I work on the hardest floor, the cancer floor. We have the same patients and not a whole lot of them make it.
Oh.
This makes my job hard in a lot of ways. Anyway, I've seen my share of deaths since I started here. I work night shift. Well, at night, it can get a little creepy when you have to go down to the morgue. One night, myself and a coworker were taking someone down to the morgue. Now, let me explain. Our morgue is a little freezer box.
Our morgue? That's such a strange... Well, our morgue.
Yeah, that's in the basement and smells horrible. Plus, it has a ramp to get into it. So she and I wheel the body down there, and we push it up the ramp, and we argue
over... You have to push it up a ramp?
Yeah, we argue over who's going to push the body in. So, of course, I lose, and I swing the freezer door open and push the body and slam the door shut. We start to fill out our paperwork when we both look at each other. She says to me, "Did you hear that?" I said, "I think so." We both look at the door. We both got cold chills, and the hair on our arms were standing straight up. It sounded like someone was crying out for help.
Huh?
We froze.
It's a Victorian nightmare.
Yeah. Turned, looked at each other, and ran out.
No, you... Really? Boo. Like... If you're in a morgue and you think you hear someone saying, "Let me out," you gotta take the risk.
Halfway down the hall, she asked if I really heard what she did. Yeah, I did. I told her. I was telling one of my friends who was a nurse on our floor also the story. She tells me she had similar things happen to her in the morgue.
They're killing
also.
People down there. Taking people who were just sleeping soundly.
I nodded off.
I'm a narcoleptic.
Yeah. To this day, I will not go alone. I try to get out of going at all. And we have a tradition on our floor when someone passes away, we open a window so the soul of the person is not trapped in the hospital to roam.
Okay.
I'm not
making this
up. That sounds
like you're protecting yourself.
I know.
You're not worried about that spirit at all. You're like, get out. Get the stepping.
I'm not making this up. It truly happened. If you don't believe me, I don't care.
What? You don't have to get like that.
I know.
Chill out. We're with you.
I know. Nobody's saying
anything.
No one's
saying anything.
I know, and so does everyone else who works there. Then somebody must have said something about, like, in the comments section here about the person maybe wasn't really dead, just like we were saying.
Yeah.
And she goes...
And for that person in the comments who was like, "That person isn't dead," I say, go suck an egg.
Well, she says, "I know the person was dead. They had been in the room from the floor for hours, almost 12, because of family, and the body had started to turn colors and such. And I'm certain they were gone. And I know I should have not gotten let the creeps get to me, but for some reason it had. But thank you for telling me what you think."
I would slap each cadaver just to make sure. They'd be like, "Why do these all have hand marks?" I'd stop, Mari. Just making sure. She's thorough.
There's more comments here where someone's like, "Hi." While reading your story, it brought up many memories about my nursing history. I must say, the morgue I visited, taking the bodies to, was not smelly at all.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
And it shouldn't be because bodies are not rotten. Sorry, with all due respect. A morgue should not smell horrible because the bodies are held in incubation over very low temperatures that is freezing. Luckily, in our country... Huh? A male porter assists the nurse, and then he opens the freezer door to do his job, and we just go along to assist him. Remember always that a pleading for help might be somebody that is really in need of help.
I'm not even sure what she's trying to say with this.
Always make sure. Assumption is the mother of all bugger-ups.
Okay, so no one said in the story, if I heard this correctly, that the smell was dead bodies.
Yeah.
They just said it stank.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
Yeah. It could be like this old building.
Yeah, it could be dank.
Yeah.
Down there could be an old building. It could be, I don't know, is there embalming going? Like, you know, is there anything else going on down there?
Yeah. Right.
It's not just a morgue. Maybe it's also where they, you know, examine cadavers and do autopsies or something. Maybe there's chemical smell.
Yeah. We had a case when I was training when a corpse recovered from a coma and that person was alive after declared dead. It does happen. It's very rare, but it can happen.
A corpse recovered from a coma? I'm sorry, but a corpse is a dead body, right? Was like, whew, that was close.
Yeah, I recovered from that.
Yeah.
Feeling much better now.
Yeah.
Maybe what you heard was a soul trapped in there. Maybe died in the morgue. How would you know? Why?
Can a soul be trapped in a box? How tightly sealed is this
box?
That's
my new band name. Soul in a Box.
Soul in a Box. It sounds like something as seen on TV.
Yeah. Soul in a Box.
Yeah. 1998. Get two
souls for 30 in a box.
Extra shipping and handling.
Yeah. Yeah, and what... Everybody's looking for the soul in the box.
Yeah, why not?
Put them in for Christmas.
Yeah.
Great gift.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Diwali.
Why? I think that is because a smell, because like I said, morgues are not supposed to smell horrible in such a way that you want to close your nose with something, if you know what I mean.
I can't believe it doesn't have a smell. Everything has a smell.
Studio smells sometimes.
Everything has a smell. Yeah. Is that the one place on earth that's not permitted to have an odor? Yeah. A room full of dead bodies?
Yeah, and the thing about leaving open the window, it's true. It's an old tradition to keep the window open so the angel of death can come and collect the soul.
That, to me, was always one of the scariest things about Christianity, is the angel of death.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you sure that's an angel?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The nurses only did this when the signs were there, within the human body and skin. The skin usually turns like blue pimples all over.
Mm-hmm.
And starting at the limbs, and the body turns cold and all the vitals go down.
For black people too?
Yeah, medical staff used to call these blue pimples the tracks of the angel of death.
Huh? What? The angel of death? That sounds horrifying.
But it's funny. It's not funny, but there's... talk to somebody who worked in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, often people pass away in the nursing homes, and they will open up the window, and sometimes they see, like a shadow in the room, like, walking by.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Is it the angel of death? He or she travels on foot.
Nobody has said angel of death. They say that it's the soul of the person.
Open it up because, you know, people, the body continues to excrete.
Yes.
And it stinks in the room.
Yeah.
So it's the aroma of death. Yes. What I was thinking. not so much an angel. But it's creepy, the concept of the angel of death. And also, what, if you don't open the window, is he just going to keep collecting people?
No, right. No, so the angel of death can come in.
No, I'm not letting him in. Window. Nah, no way. If I'm in a hospital, someone tries to open the window, I'm like, don't you even think about it.
Is this window open? No.
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 I want everything here locked down tight.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it.
Speaking of windows, this is kind of a scary thing. There's a hotel in...
I'm already scared.
Hoboken.
Okay.
And it's right on the water. And I was up on the 30th floor in this. And it had windows from floor to ceiling in this hotel room. And the window, and it was... There was a pane that intersects, so it was like four pieces of glass. The bottom two had handles, and you can open them up.
All the way?
Yeah.
Why? Isn't that illegal? No.
Maybe not anymore, so you can jump out if there's a fire.
Or the angel of death. It can get in.
But I was like,
Rather than having to take the stairs of the elevator.
It's flush with the floor. Like, if a kid is on the floor and they sees a handle, you know how they love opening up windows.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
It was insane.
I've never seen that before.
I haven't.
Although,
either.
You know what? Maybe it's good, because one thing that has always freaked me out about being, like, really high up in the building when they have lots of glass is that the windows don't open at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it should open to the point where a body could fall out, but, you know, like, a couple of inches.
Yeah.
Because I was, when I was in Panama City, one time I rented an apartment that was very modern, and all the electricity went out.
Oh, yes.
And luckily, and it was, I could see it happening across the city. I'm like, lights are going, my light went out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I remember thinking, it's a good thing that I can get these windows open a little bit. Otherwise, I would have suffocated. I was like on the 45th floor, you know, floor to ceiling windows. One of them opened a little bit.
So yeah, I was like, no, the air.
Yeah, air, fresh air. Otherwise, what are you going to do? You know, and the angel of death.
Right. There's another comment here, back to the, about being dead. From what I know in China, especially in the countryside, after a person is dead, his or her family will keep the body in the yard for a few days.
In the yard?
Before it's buried.
Okay.
Yeah. There were several people who woke up from quote-unquote death. So, out of being human, if you aren't too scared, you should at least ask other people to check out and see if the person is really dead. Yeah. You can't just run away because you're scared.
That's what I would do, is just, I'd be like, hey, Bill.
Yeah.
I thought I heard something down there. Go check it out.
Yeah, somebody else writes, I hope if there's a next time, you or your fellow associates will make sure and check it out.
Yeah.
Don't run.
Don't run.
Or if you run, run for someone.
Yeah, run for help. Oh, that's bizarre. Yeah, I've never seen, a dead body as such, but I think it'll be fascinating.
You've been to wakes?
Not where you see the body, though.
You've never seen a dead body?
No.
You've never seen a dead body live and in person?
Live. In person. I saw my grandmother, but I was like four.
In the
wake.
Yeah.
But no, most of the funerals that I've been to, and I haven't been to that many, have been closed casket.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of the open ones. And you go right up and you kneel.
Yeah, I don't know if we do that.
There's a kneeler and you're expected. You go in.
You got to get real close up on it?
Like, yeah. First you go in, and then the receiving line of the family is over onto one side, and you go up and you talk to them and you pay your respects to them. And then you continue on your way up to the top of the room where the casket is, and it's open, and there's a kneeler, and then you kneel down and you say a prayer.
Wow. This is stuff I always see on TV. My family doesn't really do that. Mm-hmm. I think it's up to the family and the person. I'm not saying I've been to funerals where there was something wrong, like there was an accident, so you know, the body was disfigured. It was just, no, it's a closed casket, and then you do your thing, and then you leave, and then when no one's looking, they quickly put it in the ground.
Okay. No, this it's supposed to be for closure, so you can say that person, yes, they really are, there they are, they are dead.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were dead, though, even though I didn't see them. Like, I was good on that. Like, I was clear on that. Oh, that's weird. I think it's fascinating, though.
Yeah.
This is some Science Daily. It says, alcohol boosts recall of earlier learning, study suggests.
What?
Yeah.
Earlier in that day?
Drinking alcohol
earlier. You know, it's
early
funny.
Childhood. I don't know. Drinking alcohol improves memory for information learned before the drinking episode began. So I think it's have a drink after class. So at University of Exeter, 88 social drinkers. I like that. Yeah. Social drinkers. We're given
88?
Yes. We're given a word learning task. Participants were then split into two groups at random and told either to drink as much as they liked.
No way.
Average four drinks. Or not to drink at all. Those were the next day, they all did the same task again. Those who had drunk alcohol remembered more of what they'd learned.
Because they were happy and they relaxed and they enjoyed
themselves. Yeah, they relaxed. So the researchers are keen to stress that this limited positive effect should be considered alongside well-established negative...
But they don't remember anything they did while they were drinking.
Yes. They're like, who are you?
Yeah. You were singing songs.
Our research not only showed that those who drank did better when repeating the word learning task, but that this effect was stronger among those who drank more. But they don't really understand why. The theory is that the hippocampus, the brain area that is really important for memory, switches to consolidating memories, transferring from short to long term. So maybe when the people were more relaxed, when they weren't, I don't know, when they weren't thinking, their brain was working.
All right.
I have no idea. But these people were able to learn things more. So I thought about this because I've taught English for years. And I've been studying languages for years. I'm actually taking a Spanish class right now. Clearly, after class, I should have a glass of wine.
Yeah, you must.
That's what that's saying.
Yes.
Because I will better remember my vocabulary. But it's interesting. Having a glass of wine, or it didn't say wine. I said wine.
Yeah.
Because that would be what I would have.
Yeah.
Having, the average was four. So these people must have chugged. That's the average.
The average, yes. So.
It was four units, as they call it, of wine. So, yeah, have a glass of wine after class, people.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Why not?
Science supports this.
Yeah, I'll see if my last semester of graduate school supports that.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm going to be doing.
Hey, Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.